Welcome to the broadcast ministries of Word Alive Church, a place of spiritual cultivating, loving care, and creating great commissioning experiences. And now, an anointed word from Pastor Norman E. Curley.
Concerning victorious living, we have defined it as living with a biblical outlook that focuses on God's plans for mankind and adapting one's lifestyle in harmony with that outlook while trusting God's grace to fulfill his promises in this present world and in the world to come. Jesus lived a victorious life because he fulfilled the plans of the Father. He adapted his life to those plans and he trusted the Father to do what he had promised. Now, in the latter part of the definition we gave for victorious living, we referenced this while trusting God's grace to fulfill his promises in the world and the world to come. This is that part of victorious living whereby we learn the art of waiting for God to give witness to his faithfulness and our steadfast faith in the rewards of righteousness. In the kingdom of God, there are rewards that God provides for his children. We're living in a time now where the business industry is using this particular strategy to attract people in all kinds of ways. A lot of time people are changing from one credit card to another because they offer reward points. People are taking vacation on reward points. You have some people now, they're being able to eat off of reward points. So this is a strategy that we are accustomed to in our society today. But there is a rewarding experience in victorious living whereby heaven rewards or releases into the life of the righteous certain things that God desires to bless them with. I want you to turn to Acts chapter 10. And in Acts chapter 10, I want us to unpack the life of the gentleman who is a non-Jew by the name of Cornelius. And I want us to witness how God's grace worked in this man's life as God began to reward his acts of righteousness, even though he was not a believer initially, but yet he got the attention of heaven. Even in what we call the Beatitudes, the Bible talks about God's reward coming to those who will trust him in this present world. Matter of fact, in Luke 6, verse 23, Jesus said, "Rejoice in that day and leap with joy, for indeed your reward is great in heaven." In other words, in the day where the world began to persecute us, the day where the world began to speak evil of us or insult us, the Bible tells Christians we are to have an attitude of rejoicing, because there are rewards awaiting us in heaven. In Hebrews 10:35 is another scripture where the writer encourages us not to cast away our confidence concerning what we are believing God or waiting on God for. For the Bible say that we have a great reward awaiting us. Saints, God rewards the righteous. And in 2 John verse 8, the Apostle John encouraged us to stay true to the word of God and to begin to walk in those things because there's a reward awaiting us. God rewards the righteous. There are some things that I want us to gain from Cornelius, because this is a very crucial moment in the life of the church, because at this point, the church was mainly built around the Jewish community. The Jewish community are those who come from the history of Judaism. And so now God is beginning to expand this territorial approach to the kingdom, and he's reaching outside of the Jewish community. And so we find this gentleman by the name of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10 and verse 1 through 4. I want you to listen what God says concerning this particular non-Jew. The Bible says there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment. In other words, he was a military leader. He was not an officer, but he would be perhaps like in the army, a sergeant major. He was a devout man and one who feared God. I want you to grab that. He was a devout man. In other words, even though he's not born again, he had this, the word religious way about him, a piety about him, a godness about him. And the Bible says he feared God. We're going to deal with that because that identifies type of relationship that he had with God is one where he feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people, and he prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? So he said to him, Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. The first lesson we learn about the rewards of the righteous is that God has no problem locating the target and directing heaven's reward. God knows exactly where Cornelius is. God knows his status as a Roman. But God also knows that this man is doing some things based on his level of knowledge. In Judaism, a person who was a non-Jew could take on the identity as a God-fearer. This was a person who was a non-Jew who would be willing to pray to God. That means he would go to the temple during the hours of prayer. Prayer hours were set 3 hours apart. There was a 9 o'clock prayer hour. There was a 12 o'clock prayer hour. There was a 3 o'clock prayer hour. So Cornelius was known by the Jewish community as one who came to the temple during the hour of prayer. So they called him a God-fearer. Not only that, but he would give offerings in the temple. How many know they like it when you give offerings, right? So the Jewish community welcomed him because he would bring what? Offerings into the temple. The Bible says that. He would pray, he would give offering, and he would have this piety about him. So he was a God-fearer. When you was a God-fearer and you wasn't a Jew, they would embrace you to a certain level. But then there's another advanced level that a non-Jew could move into, and was that what they identified as a proselyte. A proselyte was someone who would get a little more advanced in the Jewish community. This individual, even though he or she was not a Jew, they would go beyond the stage of being a God-fearer, and they would even be circumcised. Not only that, but they would begin to honor some of their feast days and things of that nature. So the Jewish community recognized them, even though they were Gentiles. They say these are proselytes. Cornelius had not advanced that far. He was just a God-fearer. But guess what? The Jewish community may not have fully welcomed him in, but God is showing the Jewish community that they don't control what he does in the life of someone who's beginning to seek him. In other words, he didn't have all the knowledge he needed, but how many know God understood that? And so God began to reach out to Cornelius. You to get this now. He's not born again yet, but for some reason, he gets the attention of heaven. Not only does he get the attention, but you notice here that his relatives are involved in the equation. It was common practice that when a man during this time would become a person of faith, his whole family would follow. His whole household, his servants, they would just what? Join in the faith of this particular leader of that particular home. And so in verse 4, the Bible say, and when he observed him, he was afraid. In other words, when this angel came, and he responded, What is it, Lord? It's kind of like Paul in Acts chapter 9. Remember when the angel of the Lord, he said, What would thou have me to do, Lord? And it's not like he's calling him Lord like we say Lord because he's our Lord and Savior. It is a respectful term saying, Sir, what is it, sir, you want? So he recognized this angel as being a representative of God. And then the angel says to him, Your prayers, your alms have come up for a memorial to God. In other words, God takes notice of our prayers and he takes notice of our giving. And he just don't take notice of it at the moment, but what you've been given over years, what you've been praying for over years. So all that this man has been doing, his generosity, it's kind of like Lydia. She was another Greek that did so many things for people in the community. And how many know she received a move from God because she has such a giving heart. The other thing I notice is this, is that God has no problem in aligning people to direct heaven's reward in your direction. Now, the angel shows up at Cornelius' house. He lets him know that God is getting ready to move in your situation. God is getting ready to bring you closer into the knowledge of what you are doing with a lack of understanding, but God's bringing you on a path that's going to give you understanding. It's called revelation knowledge. And so if we look back in Acts chapter 10, if you come on down after Cornelius had this encounter, the Bible say the next day as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Boy, I tell you what, when you got a prayer life, God can speak something to you. God told Cornelius, I want you to send some of your men. Now, these are non-Jews. I want you to send them to this particular location where I have an apostle named Peter at his residence. And so while they're en route, how many know God has to work on Peter now? Get this. God has to align Peter because Peter is going to be an instrument that God uses to be a blessing to Cornelius. Listen. God is aligning up people right now to be able to bring to pass something that he's going to move in your future. Hallelujah. People that you don't even know, God's already working on their heart. Hallelujah. That's why when God speaks to you to be a blessing to someone, you don't confer with flesh and blood and try to find out, Lord, do they need that? No, you just follow the promptings of the Holy Ghost. Because if somebody's praying for a matter over here and God looks over here in the body of Christ, either outside of the body of Christ, and he decides he wants to get you involved in answering their prayers, it's not like he's trying to take something from you. You should be honored that God chose you. Hallelujah. That God laid it on your heart to do this. Because when you end up seeking the glory, you will abort the blessing that God is bringing to your life. That's why when Jesus said, when you give alms in Matthew chapter 6, don't let your right hand know what your... In other words, don't be like the Pharisees who go out in the streets and want to be seen of men. The Bible says they have their reward. But when you do it with the right spirit, with the right heart, God said, I will reward you. So God is what? He's got to deal with Peter because, see, Peter is a Jew, but he still has a racist mindset. Judaism is still ruling in his mind. Even though he's filled with the Holy Ghost, he still has to deal with the reality. I have a background in Judaism. So the Bible says God comes to Peter while he's in prayer. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. And in it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Notice how Peter responds. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common unclean. What's that? Judaism. That's his background. That's what he's been raised in. On certain dietary laws. That certain things as a Jew, we're not to eat because what? It's unclean. It's defiled. Peter said, I never did nothing like that. And a voice spoke to him again the second time. What God has cleansed, you must not call what? You must not call common. This was done three times. Notice, God had to repeat it three times to try to get to Peter beyond, get this now, that false and erroneous doctrine that was impregnated in his mind. When people get a seed of false doctrine in them, that's a deep seed that got to be rooted out. So God is rooting that out of Peter, but it took it three times he did this to Peter because even in Mark chapter 7, verse 15, Jesus told him, it's not the things that go in a man that defiles him, but what? What comes out of him? Because what comes out of him come out of what? His heart. And so here Peter, he wrestles this experience that he's had, but God is working on him. Look to the neighbor and say, God is working on him. But Peter is about to step into a path of God's plan that's going to cost him something. Good example in Galatians chapter 2 when Paul and Peter, they were out doing ministry and they was just going wherever the Holy Ghost would tell them to go. And how many know there was time the Holy Spirit told them don't go certain places. So you got to make sure you're being led by the Spirit of God when you're going against the grain. But later on in his life, the Jews began to put pressure on him. And then all of a sudden, Peter flipped the switch. And in Galatians 2, Paul confronted him. And the Bible says, now when Peter had come to Antioch, Paul said this, I withstood him to his face. In other words, I did not talk about him behind his back. I went straight to his face because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with who? He would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. What? Fearing those who were part of Judaism. So it was what? It was fear that caused Peter to back and compromise and act like he never hung around Gentiles. You've got to have courage to stand in the world we're living in today. Christians have got to have courage. You don't have to hate people, but you got to have courage. You got to be willing to stand on the things of God. I don't care who join in and say, well, I'm going with the flow. I'm going with the flow of the Holy Spirit. I'm going with the flow of the word. But I ain't flowing with everybody because everybody ain't going with God. Everybody's not willing to move in the direction of God. Whenever we're instruments in God's hand, we have to be willing, number one, to discern personal correction and counsel God is bringing to us and for us, regardless of what others may or may not be doing. If you notice in verse number 15, God speaks to Peter. He directly says, what God have cleansed, you must not call what common. God is not talking about the food and the animals now. God is talking about people. God is showing Peter that you're no longer to look at Gentiles as if though they are unclean. Get this, you're no longer to be a racist and carry out my agenda. See, that's a hard spirit that people deal with in the world. So Peter has to discern that God is bringing personal correction to his life. Listen, us that are leaders in the body of Christ, God has the right to bring direction and correction to us. Sometimes people think when they make bishop or they got a title of apostle that they can't be corrected. No, God has to correct us. And when God begins to correct you, you need to understand instead of you blaming somebody else and judging somebody else, you need to say, God is dealing with me in this area of my life. So you got to discern personal correction. Another thing is you got to die to self while waiting on God to continue what he has started in our life. If you're going to be an instrument in the hands of God, you got to discern the personal correction God is bringing to your life, and you got to be willing to die to self while waiting on God to continue what he has started in your life. All right? Now, while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, in other words, now he's got to wait on God till he fully understands what's going on. Listen. Whenever we wait on God, I know when we pray, we want God to do it. God would take us through a waiting process. And there's nothing wrong with waiting. There's a blessing in waiting. One of them is that the more you wait, the more you have to depend on God. Oh, let me help somebody. The more you have to wait on a situation to work out in your life, you're praying, you're interceding. If it was up to you, you would have done it yesterday. And God got you in this waiting period. Every day, you got to say, I got to wait again. You learn what it means for God to be your daily bread. If you don't believe me, ask Elijah when he had this great moment and all of a sudden God had moved in his life and all of a sudden he gives Ahab a word from God. He stands against the king. He's telling what thus says the Lord. And then God sends him away to go to a brook in Cherith. No food. You out in the woods. And God didn't tell him, now you're going to be here 7 days. And after that, I'm going to send you to Zarephath and you're going to be in Zarephath. You're going to, I'm going to work a miracle there. And then after you finish there, I'm going to take you up to Mount Carmel. And boy, you're going to have a show. God didn't tell him the whole plan. God just said, go in the woods. He goes in the wilderness and every day he has to get up and start another day and wait on the ravens to bring him breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Oh, glory to God. Go to the brook and find a little water. So every day he got to do what? Depend on God. So a lot of time God has us waiting so we can what? Learn how to depend on him. This whole kingdom thing is about what? Depending on God. Some of us got such an independent spirit, we won't even submit to authority. And God said, okay, you may not submit to man's authority, but I'm going to show you who I am. You're going to wake up Monday, and you're going to have to wait on me for everything on Monday. And I told you not to worry about Tuesday and Wednesday. Why? Because Monday have enough trouble for itself. So don't take no thought for tomorrow. Tomorrow got some stuff you ain't ready to deal with. What you got to focus on today. Look to your neighbor, say today. God say, if you focus on today, I'll handle you today. If you seek me first today, I'll handle you today. But you're going to learn how to live day by day. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You think you're in control? You're not in control. God is in control. Why? Because you can't make Monday come now. You're going to have to deal with Sunday. And you're in church now and everything seems to be fine, but you got to leave church in a little bit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Don't you worry about work on Monday. You got to deal with Sunday. So when you wake up on Monday, you say, okay, God, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Now get ready to deal with your Monday. Old folks on them songs talking about Sunday morning. You better learn how to deal with Monday morning. You better learn how to walk with God on Wednesday morning. You can't just wait till Sunday come again like that's going to be a good day. I declare my Monday going to be a good day. My Tuesday going to be a good day. I don't care if I got to go to court Thursday. The Lord's going to be there with me. Hallelujah. Look to your neighbor, say today. Yeah, we got to wait on God. Elijah couldn't jump up and say, I'm tired of ravens taking care of me. I'm hungry and they're running late today. Their wings didn't fly fast enough. Couldn't do nothing about it. God took him out of control. You know what God was preparing Elijah for? Mount Carmel. Glory to God. He didn't know in a couple of years I'm going to have a duel against Jezebel and all of those prophets. But God said, I start you out depending on me for your food. Then I have to let you know how to depend on me by trusting somebody else to bring it to you. So I send you to a little woman in Zarephath. And all you got to do is tell her, fix a little food for me and you and the baby and everything going to be all right. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If God had told Elijah when he was in Cherith that when you get to Zarephath, you're going to be there with a woman and she's going to bless you, but her baby going to die and she's going to blame you for it. Elijah probably would have what? Went the other direction. While God has us waiting, God don't tell us everything. Why? Because we are running a different direction. Oh, I got to bring this to a close. The second thing I noticed is that God knows what's best for you. He directs heaven's rewards accordingly. Look at Acts, 10:22. The Bible says, and they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you. Peter waiting on God to give him clarity of this vision. These men show up from Cornelius' house and they tell Peter that Cornelius had this experience, and this is what we call a divine appointment. Say divine appointment. A divine appointment is when you are trusting God on one end and God is working on the other end and God brings the appointment together. You didn't hook it up. You didn't work it out. Your friends didn't make it happen. God made it happen. And I mean, God has divine appointments set up for your life. Glory to God. And so Peter, in verse 23, then he invited them and lodged them. Now notice, Peter is lodging these Gentiles in his house. What he's doing? He's walking out what God has done in his heart. He's no longer bound by Judaism. Because if he was bound by Judaism, he would not have let these men in his house. So he opens his house up, and on the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied them. And the following day, they came and entered Caesarea. Now look at verse 23. Now Cornelius was what? Waiting for them. Oh, my God. He's doing what? Waiting for. He's doing what? Waiting for them. See, he had a word from God, and he was waiting on God to bring it to pass. He didn't know when they were going to come. He didn't even know if Peter would obey God. But I mean, oh, God takes care of all of that. For them, he had called together his relatives and close. I want you to grab this. Because sometimes when we look at this story, we focus on Cornelius. It's really not about Cornelius. It's about God reaching beyond Cornelius and bringing not only this man into the kingdom, but bringing his family into the kingdom, bringing his friends into the kingdom. In other words, Cornelius have everybody at his house waiting on a move of God. His family gets saved. His relative gets saved. His servants get saved. How many know that's the way God does in our family? When we are waiting on God, when we are praying, how many know God's bringing our family into the knowledge of God's will? And so then, and Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. This is not him bowing down, worshiping him like he was God. He's showing respect to Peter. But notice how humble Peter is. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. Then he said to them, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company or go to one another nation. But God has shown me that what? I shall not call any man common or unclean. Now Peter got the revelation. It wasn't about food in the dream. It's a confirmation. Cornelius showed up. Peter said, I got the revelation. God is showing me I'm not to call people of a different nation than my own as being uncommon or defiled or that God can't move in their life. And then come down to verse 44 for the sake of time. It says, while Peter was still speaking, now he's at Cornelius' house. What was he teaching? If you look up, he's preaching about Jesus. He's not talking about the Old Testament. He's preaching about Jesus. He's preaching about the Holy Spirit. And they're sitting there, what? Hearing about Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, the Bible says in verse 44, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit did what? Fell upon all those who heard the word. See, when you're hearing the word, how many know the Holy Spirit is moving? Now, Peter was preaching in Acts chapter 2. He said, this is the Holy Spirit. This is what Joel prophesied, that our sons and daughters shall prophesy, that our old men shall have dreams and our young men shall have vision. When God pours out his spirit, how many know our young people need to have the Holy Spirit? They need to know who the Holy Spirit is. They need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? Now they'll know I got power to live as a young person for God. The Bible says, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished. Now notice, Peter took some eyewitnesses with him. Because in Acts chapter 15, when he stands before the council, how many know he talks about this experience? So he takes some Jews with him, and the Bible said they were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because what? The gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out where? On the Gentiles. You can't deny it. You can't deny it. This is not about Judaism anymore. Why? Because what happened in Acts chapter 2 with the Jews, Peter's saying is happening at Cornelius' house. They are filled with the Holy Ghost. Peter up here preaching, and while he's preaching, wow, he's kind of looking around. Wait a minute. These Gentiles are speaking in tongues. What in the world or what in the word is happening? Heaven is pouring out the rewards. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, verse 46, for they heard them what? Speak with tongues and do what? And magnify God. Why do people fight speaking in tongues? It's a reward from heaven. When you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you've got the greatest reward you can get from God. You've got the power of heaven in your life. You've got the anointing of Jesus in your life. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized? Who have what? Who have received the Holy Spirit, just like we have. Peter said, God has shown me that when it comes to the kingdom, I can no longer be a racist. Because God can do whatever he want to do. And he can do it through whoever he chooses to do it through. He's not a respecter of persons. He don't care about your background. He doesn't care about the color of your skin. But if you are seeking him, Cornelius was seeking God based on his level of knowledge. And God did not let him stay there in that state of ignorance. God began to divinely set things up. Now Cornelius have heard the gospel concerning Jesus, him and his household, and they received the word of God and the Holy Ghost manifested in that house. And here we got a Gentile household speaking in tongues. What a testimony to the Jewish community. And when Peter has to go before the Jerusalem council, we can call that the church officers. And they up there debating whether they're going to let Gentiles come into the temple and the Gentiles be received into the family of God. Peter has to get up and tell them this story of what God did through him with Cornelius. How many know God breaks down all barriers? God knew exactly where Cornelius was.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast ministries of Word Alive Church. We're located at 3100 Trotter Road in Southeast Columbia, where Norman E. Curley is the pastor. Come worship with us each Sunday at 10 a.m. worship and 7 p.m. Wednesdays for an engaging, insightful, and anointed Bible teaching. For more information about the ministry or to obtain a copy of today's message, please call 803-695-1277 or visit us on the web at wordalivesc.com. Tune in next time for Word Alive Broadcast Ministries. Thank you.